Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Wednesday, June the 11th, 2003. At this time, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5518, which is the Employment Department. Over to you. Rebuy?
What did she say?
I thought she said buy. Oh, no. Here goes anymore.
Can we move the bill? Allow us taking a drink.
Well, speaking of that, Rick, before you begin, okay. If everyone will turn to page 2, we're talking about all the adjustments, governor's budget. And what I'm going to do is, as Rick goes through these.
Oh, shoot. Do you have an extra?
I didn't bring the whole thing down
clearly
either.
Clearly don't have as trained as well as you'd like.
If there are no objections to each one of them, what we'll do is we'll just proceed to the end. So if you have an objection to any of the adjustments, we'll just holler, and then we'll get to the end, and we'll approve them. Okay? Back to you, boss.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. This is the budget for the Employment Department. You have the memo that I've distributed to you regarding the Employment Department, and we'll just start down through these. On the first page, performance measures. Performance measures for the Employment Department can be found on page B31 of the Governor's Balanced Budget. I have attached to this memo a summary of those performance measures for your review also. During the budget hearing, there was no specific concerns detailed regarding the performance measures. The performance measures have been approved by the performance measure review panel, and so LFO is recommending approval of both performance measures as submitted by the Employment Department.
Mr. Chair, was that again? I'll move the adoption of the performance measures.
Senator Dukes has moved that we adopt the performance measures for Employment Department without objection.
So starting on page 2, we'll go down through the adjustments that were made to the governor's balanced budget. First, package 040 is a mandated caseload adjustment that is normally looked at for some agencies that have workload that fluctuates based on caseload. The governor's budget actually eliminated 7 positions because the March forecast or an earlier forecast showed that unemployment insurance workload would be decreasing. We've had more recent forecasts that have come out since then, and the forecasts have actually showed that the economy isn't rebounding as quickly as they thought it would. Unemployment is up, claims are up, and so LFO is recommending that those 7 positions that were eliminated in the governor's budget be restored on a limited duration basis, which means they'll be restored for the next 2 years, but they'll have to look at it again next budget cycle to see what the workload would be.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Duke?
I'll move the package 040 mandated caseload, the LFO recommendation.
Okay. Senator Duke said what I was going to do, if there was no objection, I was just going to move down through all of them.
That's fine. You looked at me. I assumed I was supposed to make a motion.
I was just making sure you saw there was a limited duration on that. Is that okay with everyone? You withdraw the motion. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's withdrawn. You need to look at somebody else if they make the same mistake.
Okay, moving on down, LFO adjustment package 001. You'll see these in all the budget units. These are the personal service adjustments relating to the merit increase and merit freezes. And you'll see the adjustments there as well. This package also eliminates one vacant position. As we went through and reviewed vacant positions, there were a few positions that had been vacant for a long period of time, over, in some cases, more than 3 years. But the department was using the funding for those positions in other personal service areas, such as differentials or temporary employees. So this package eliminates that one vacant position but leaves the funding so that it is more accurately reflected in the budget where the funds are used for differentials or like I said, for temporary employees.
What is this, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Carter.
It would be so nice that we have the kind of relationships with our agencies where they can come in and not hold a vacant position for 3 years, and we can have a better reflection of the budget, so we won't raid them so badly when they do come, because it's not obvious to us. We start breaking the books, and that's why, especially with Representative Smith asking a lot of questions, which I support. You wouldn't have to ask all those questions if there was, like, people coming forth and saying this position has been available for 2 years and clarifying it on the books. So when we do go back and take your people away, it's not so bad. You know what I'm saying? Because we might take them away when you really needed the most, and yet the position has not been clarified. So it would be wonderful when that happens.
Well, and that is, I think this whole process, this session is going to be good, because we're actually getting closer to what I would call, and it's not this department I'm saying this to, but a little bit more in truth and accounting.
Right.
In other words, it's not a slush fund. These are FTE positions. Yeah. And so let's be straightforward. Like, for example, here, we're leaving the money in there for in case it's needed. It is their money anyway.
Exactly.
But the other thing is that just to be honest about what the position or position isn't.
Exactly.
Representative, the last couple sessions we've had on the House floor, Representative Crummell has questioned all the performance measures, wants them read. I referred to him yesterday that they were available for him to read, not to take up the floor time, but he still asked. But the one thing he did bring up was, we say so many FTE, but not how many they had before necessarily, how many they got now, or how many were cut, or for what reason. And so maybe when we get our floor speech done, if we had a little more explanation about that FTE, unfilled, whether they were filled, part-time, something that gives these people a little more detail who aren't in this on the ways and means, but yet they're concerned about the total number of employees that we have, what we're doing with that.
Well, what makes it so bad when it
doesn't? Senator Carter.
I was just talking. What makes it so bad, thank you, Mr. Chairman, is that, like, Debbie is a new administrator in this department. She came from a department that was well-run, and she got kudos for her position. And now we happen to bring up this issue because she's now, the new administrator, so it makes it hard that we don't want to criticize you, but at the same time, when you look at an action like this, it forces us to bring it to light. And so it's something that administrators and accountants have to get together on in terms of the truth in exercise here, so that we can better know it, and we'll have to hit it. And ask a lot of questions at the last minute that we didn't know before. Now we're getting the truth, the facts out of it.
Senator Dukes?
I have a question for staff. Did I understand you say that there were several of these positions that they've been holding vacant?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, there are four that are eliminated in this budget, and we'll get to the other three as we go through it.
Okay.
They're in different budget units, different programs of the agency.
I'm sorry.
But there's a total of four. And I might say, Mr. Chair, that as I've worked with the agency over the last several weeks, we've been talking about these, and we've gone through actually the entire list of vacant positions with them, and they're well aware that this is what was going to be happening for these positions, these four positions. So it was a cooperative effort with the department as well.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, are there other vacant positions in the agency that are being used this way that we're not dealing with this time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, no. There were only four. And the four that we are recommending eliminating. There are other vacant positions, but some of those that came out on the vacant list have since been filled or are being filled with temporaries or double filled or are needed and in process of recruitment.
Double filled, that's a good idea.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to respond. We did look at this and attempt to move the money out of the positions and into a bilingual differential line and a temporary line. During the budget process, DAS asked us not to make that categorical change this time. We'll do that next time. But I have the same concerns that it doesn't accurately respond to what it is you're looking at, and because you're looking for vacancies, it endangers what we have to do.
Yes.
So we will make that change in the next budget process. Again, we tried to do it this time around, and it wasn't the right time in the process. So I think you're absolutely right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Moving on down, LFO Adjustment Package 002. These are the service and supplies adjustments for the DAS assessment rate reduction, the Attorney General rate reduction, and inflation reductions. There is also $3 million other fund limitation that was decreased here. This was a pass-through funds to the hearings officer panel, and now that the hearing officer panel has been made a permanent part of the department and is no longer a pilot project, those funds will go directly to the hearings officer panel, so that limitation was not needed here in the support the unemployed program. Moving on down to policy packages. Before we do policy package 202, I'd like to call your attention to a memo that I placed at your places this morning for policy package 201. This is a supplemental memo to the memo that we're going through right now. I'm not sure how policy package 201 got omitted off of the original memo, but somehow it did. And so we need to talk about this policy package. Policy package 201, telephone initial claims. The department wants to use $4 million of federal READ Act funds to expand the implementation of the telephone claims call centers. There's currently a pilot project for the call centers. This package would allow the department to expand that throughout the state. There's not a complete and detailed plan on how that would happen yet. However, federal regulation requires that the full legislature approve the use of READ Act funds. And so if this was to be developed during the interim, they would not be able to come back to the emergency board because it's not the full legislature. So LFO is recommending that the package be approved with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the $4 million. This was part of the governor's balanced budget as well, requesting the unscheduling of the funds. And then have the department come back to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and the Emergency Board with a report prior to the funds being scheduled.
Any questions about that? If not, I think we would, because the special nature of 101, we would want a motion on that.
Mr. Chairman, just want to make a comment. This is one I could see any of us play around with. The unemployment rate in this state is so great. And this is a matter of food being on the table for people. And so I certainly agree with the recommendation of the LFO. And at the appropriate time, I'm prepared to give you a motion.
Okay. Are there any further questions about Policy Package 201? I'll accept that motion then.
I so move the LFO's recommendation for Policy Package 201, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there any further questions or discussion about it? If not, I'll do that on the basis of without objection.
Okay. Going back to the original memo then, moving on to Policy Package 202. Fraud Control Unit. This package adds two revenue agents and one information services specialist or information system specialist for the fraud control efforts of the agency. This is to go out and try to recover overpayments of unemployment benefits. LFO is recommending approval of the package with the understanding that the positions would be established as limited duration positions and that the department would track the amount of collections and the revenue that is generated from these positions and report that back to the 2005 legislature during the budget hearings.
Representative Henson.
Question. My memo has got $3,600 other funds.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Henson, thank you. I failed to point that out. That is a reduction of out-of-state travel of $1,600 and a reduction of $2,006 because the Attorney General rate was decreased.
That's so on the top of page 3.
Yeah, there was some money in this package for Attorney General and out-of-state travel, and those things were adjusted.
Okay. Senator Dukes?
What happens to the recovered money?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the recovered money goes back into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, and it's our hope by getting more money back, we can keep employer taxes in check.
For the record.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I'm Tom Byerly, Assistant Director for Unemployment Insurance with the Employment Department. I had that in my mind, I forgot.
So did I, so we're equal.
Yeah.
Okay, what I'd like to do before we move on to number two, under the adjustments for the support for the unemployed, let's do this each section at a time. So are there any questions then about the first section, support for unemployed? If not, we'll approve this on the basis of without objection. Okay. So move.
You really do need a motion. I mean, it's okay if it's available, but do need a motion.
She said she moved.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Okay.
We're quick, but we are quiet.
Moving on to promote employment, develop the workforce. Again, package 001. The elimination of the merit and cost of living increases. This package also eliminates one of those other vacant positions like we talked about earlier, but leaves the funding for the position to use in other personal service line items. And then LFO adjustment package 002, again, is the DAS assessment rate reduction, the Attorney General rate reduction, and the inflation reductions that are being taken from all agencies. Policy package 203, employment contracted services. Each biennium for the last several biennium, the Employment Department has been granted limited duration positions so that they have those positions available to be able to be used for grant and contract opportunities that come to the department rather than coming back to the emergency board often with those kinds of requests. 2001-03 biennium, they have had 41 limited duration positions that they have used off and on. This package would establish 26 limited duration positions for that same purpose. The Employment Department has been very responsive and responsible in how they use these positions, and they are not using them frivolously, but they are needed, and so LFO is recommending the approval of the package with the positions being established as limited duration.
Okay, everyone understand the package then under promote employment and development of the workforce, LFO adjustment package 001, adjustment package 002, and package 203. If you folks would like to approve this, I'll need a motion, then we'll without objection.
So moved.
Representative Hansen has moved that the policy packages on page 3 be approved without objection.
Moving on to promote and regulate child care. This is the only program within the Employment Department that has general fund monies in it, the child care portion. The LFO package 001 eliminates the merit and cost of living increases by the amounts you see there, and then LFO package 002 makes the service and supplies adjustments as we've been talking about. There are no enhancement packages for the child care division.
Any question about the child care unit? Okay, the LFO recommendation package 001 and then 002. To approve those, motion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter has moved the approval of the LFO adjustment packages and without objection. So moved.
Moving on to the hearing officer panel. Again, there are no enhancements or policy packages in this unit of the department, LFO Adjustment Package 001, Personal Service. This package eliminates two of the vacant positions that we've talked about and leaves the funding for those positions in other personal service line items. And then LFO Adjustment Package 002 adjusts for the DAS assessment, Attorney General, and inflation reductions.
Any questions about hearing officer panel adjustments?
Mr. Chairman, so move the hearing officer panel adjustments, package 001-002.
Senator Carter has moved the hearing officer panel adjustments 001 and 002 without objection.
Finally, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, we get to the non-limited. This is the unemployment insurance benefit payments that come from the department. Again, this is an amount that is not in the bill. It is a non-limited, which means they are able to spend whatever is necessary for the unemployment insurance payments. This LFO recommended adjustment, however, increases that non-limited payment, other fund payment, simply because the unemployment has increased in the state, and since the governor's budget was produced, this is a better reflection of the adjustment that's necessary of what's anticipated to be paid in the 03-05 biennium.
Any question about non-limited?
Okay.
Senator Carter has moved the acceptance of the LFO recommendations under non-limited, page 4, and without objection.
Moving on to page 5, the other fund ending balances discussion. There are five funds here that we'll talk about briefly. The first is the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund, otherwise known as CDAF. This fund is generated from the interest on the benefit reserve fund, and it accumulates to this account. The department uses a portion of these funds for operating expenses. The projected balance at the end of 03-05 is slightly over $5 million. That balance fluctuates. The balance in this fund fluctuates based on cash flow and the interest rate that they receive from the benefit reserve fund.
Rick, these are falling within the parameters set by the co-chairs as far as any balance numbers? Or?
Mr. Chair, yes, they are. These have been reviewed with the co-chairs. Again, the ending balance in the CDAF fund is continuing to decline as for a few reasons. One, the department is using some of this money for operating expenses. Number two, the interest earning power is way down as compared to years past. So we're seeing the ending balance in this fund decline. Okay. Moving on to the second one, the Jobs Plus Unemployment Wage Fund. This was established by the legislature as a diversion, a one-time diversion from the employment taxes to finance the Jobs Plus program for the 2001-03 biennium and the 03-05 biennium. This $4 million that you see here as an ending balance is actually part of that diversion for the current biennium that will go unexpended. There weren't as many people participating in the program as what they had originally projected, and so that $4 million will be an ending balance. That money would be available to continue the program into the 05-07 biennium, but the 05 legislature would need to continue the program. And if you want the program to continue through the entire 05-07 biennium, another diversion would have to take place.
Rick, we have a bill that's probably going to come to this committee that will deal with that ending balance, correct? It will actually roll it into a, if it's approved?
I know that there is some movement afoot to use this money for other purposes. And so I'm not sure what subcommittee or where it will go, but...
Senator Carter?
Can we ask the administrator to give us...
Sure.
To explain this one, because is this the one through DHS?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, I'm Debbie Lincoln, director of the Employment Department. No, this is not the one through DHS. This that one has been suspended, I believe. Our Jobs Plus is for unemployment insurance claimants themselves. So if somebody comes into our office as a UI claimant, they have access to a Jobs Plus job.
Debbie, is that going to be rolled into the governor's proposal?
Mr. Chairman, that's been talked about. House Bill 2302 is a workforce training fund, and this $4 million is one of the potential sources for that. It's also been discussed as being rolled into general fund backfill as well, and it's some kind of a revenue package. So we've heard two different uses for this money besides the program itself.
This is general fund?
No, this is this would be backfill for general fund.
There's general fund money still hanging around.
Can I speak up?
So this is what kind of money?
This is UI diversion, unemployment trust fund diversion money.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And so
it's just
based on
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are witch hunters up here these days.
Okay. Any further questions about them? B, Jobs Plus, Unemployment Plus Fund? Okay.
Moving on to the Employment Department Special Fraud Control Fund. This fund began in 97-99 and was allowed to build until the current biennium before any of it was expended. The funds are used for administrative costs associated with the recovery and collection of overpayments. The projected ending balance for 03-05 is $1.3 million, and that balance is expected to decline over the next couple of biennia as overpayment collections bring in more principal and less interest.
How many months are this?
This is a 10-month reserve. But again, that balance is expected to decline, and so the co-chairs weren't overly concerned about having it as 10 months.
Okay, that's not a follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, that's okay.
No disrespect is intended.
No, I was going to actually add something to it, so you go ahead. My disrespect.
So, Rick, you don't think this is adequate?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, I think it's fine. Again, we'll look at it during the next budget cycle and see whether it's maintained or whether it's gone down as projected. And if it maintains this level or increases, then we'll have to revisit that issue. But
right.
At least
you don't want to visit it now in terms of lessening it.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We've had several of the budgets, or will have several of the budgets that will have something like this where it's over the maximum set by the co-chairs, but they're also looking at areas in which it was declining revenues and saying, no, leave it there for just in case that does occur.
The fourth fund is the Employment Department Special Administrative Fund. This is penalty and interest money, which is derived from fines and interest collected from employers who file their quarterly tax reports late. This is a fund that has been declining as well, and there is not projected to be any ending balance at the end of the 03-05 biennium.
Rick, in your estimation, is this good or bad? Sounds bad. Looks bad to me.
Well, maybe the department can say whether it's good or bad. I think, again, the uses of this money, the department uses the penalty and interest money that it generates, and again, it's good and it's bad, maybe on one hand, and the department can correct me if I'm wrong, but if there's no ending balance and no huge amounts coming in, maybe employers are filing their quarterly reports more on time.
That's a good indicator, but what happens, how do you, Mr. Chairman, what do you do if something comes in where you need money in this particular area? How do you rectify that? How do you deal with it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carter, this money is pretty fungible, and that and the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund, we can use kind of back and forth for the same kind of expenditures. So we just use the P&I money first and then use it all up and then use the CDAP money.
Okay, so having no end in balance.
Right. And that works because there's not a dedicated program being funded by this. It's for general operating expenses.
And there's $5.3 million up in CEDA.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And then finally, the operational reserves. The department receives fees for some services they provide. This ending balance is actually quite minor. It's less than 1 month reserve for their operating expenses.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That doesn't sound like much.
You mean ending balance? No, it doesn't.
I'm checking here.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes, again, I think it's the same kind of situation as what Debbie
just talked
about.
Go back up to one of the other ones if they're in short.
It's pretty fungible,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
These funds, with a few exceptions, are at least the three of the funds are pretty interchangeable.
Okay.
Flexible.
Yes.
Then, let's Chairman. See. Senator Carter.
Oh, well, if they think that's okay, that's fine. I'll just...
Okay. Would you like to go ahead?
I will move the department, the five different funds as listed on page five, move recommendations with the telephone recommendation.
Senator Carter has moved that we accept the ending balances listed on page five as A through E. Any further discussion or questions? If not, without objection.
Just a question.
Hansen.
On the Jobs Plus item, I'm assuming the process would be we approve this, and then there'll be another action that will be needed to be taken later if this fund is used for another purpose.
It appears there's two plans out there. So my understanding is that the request was made to come to this committee, and I thought that was most appropriate. Okay. Without objection?
Then on page six, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, these are the recommended changes to the appropriation bill. You can see them there, the amendment that would need to be made to the bill.
So moved.
Representative Hansen has moved on page six the recommendations listed as D, changes to the appropriation bill. A through D. Any questions about those? If not, without objection.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 5518 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
There's nothing further to do other than that motion, sounds like it. Okay, recommendation, the motion has been made to move Senate Bill 5518 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any further comments, questions, discussions about motion? So moved. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, general question. Looking at the calendar of the budgets we have yet to approve, where does that place us looking out? Do we have that?
Yes, I'll get you. I thought you guys had a copy of that. I'll make sure you have it. Okay, make sure I have the latest one. But we're showing about what? 2 weeks.
Yeah. I know that there are a couple budgets scheduled for next week. I don't think there's anything left scheduled this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think housing is scheduled. We'll be able to work through a portion of that, but probably not complete it at this time. And then I don't recall what else is scheduled next week. But I think housing is scheduled for Monday and Tuesday, and that will probably change to Tuesday only.
Mm-hmm. Transportation will come up at the very end. Is that your expectation?
Transportation and economic development will be coming up at the end.
Save the best for last.
Mr. Chair, if you have any influence on these things, could we have more than a day?
Oh, you need a day on how many?
I'm taking them. Yeah,
I think you're right. Because yeah. There's some very, very serious issues in each one of those.
Yeah, I mean, people have anticipation, but there's no way we would.
Before we lose the committee, we need carriers, right?
We do.
Volunteers.
I don't mind.
everybody's afraid of Senator Carter, so they won't ask any questions. No, they're not. I'm just teasing. Okay. Senator Carter. And?
Be shy, guys. It's three of you. Hanson said he's taking
me. We're all willing.
Well, sounds right. That house is a good bunch of people. Okay. Is there anything further to come before the committee? Rick, I'm asking you. Yes. Okay. We don't speak out loud. If there's nothing further, I'm looking at you. Okay. Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development, work session on Senate Bill 5518 will be adjourned.